Help us to lean into you, Lord. Bless Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us this morning, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I was planning this particular week, and then I had it all kind of laid out. And then I was at the Disciple Maker Boot Camp yesterday, and some of this actually really, it's like, it's almost as if the Spirit planned it. I didn't really plan anything. The Spirit was able to plan a lot of this. And on the back of your bulletin, I just call this building on the solid foundation. And I recently was just skimming through the TV, and there was a show about modern marvels, and not the superhero kind, but it was all about construction and engineering. You know how sometimes you're just scrolling through the TV and just a random show is on, and you just, for some whatever reason, you just stop on it. And this particular episode of this show was on the construction of the One World Trade Center, the reconstructed one. And we know that, and I mean, I knew some of this, but it was good to be reminded that this is the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere. And when they added the little spire on top of that building, this is the New York skyline at night, it got to a very symbolic, how high do you think it would be? It's 1,776 feet tall. So a symbolic height for this building. And I didn't realize this at the time, but construction on that building, they laid the cornerstone in 2004. But then there's all sorts of things that were struggles, and they had to work through things. And so they started construction on that building in 2006. And if you were walking by the construction site, you wouldn't think anything was going on because you couldn't see anything for the first 2 years. You didn't see a building being built. But one of the things that was going on in that 2 years was all of the things that you cannot see or don't regularly see. Because this was a building, obviously, that they were building with safety in mind. And this meant that they had to do a lot of things that nobody would ever see. All of the workers poured 2 years of their life and energy into stuff that nobody will see because it'll all be covered up with dirt and other stuff. One World Trade Center has a reinforced concrete base, and they pounded foundation pilings deep into the bedrock, hundreds of feet deep, and they built in lots of safety systems into this new building. They designed stairwells that were negative pressure so that they wouldn't fill with smoke. They installed chemical and biological sensors in it so that they could be able to respond. And it's a really interesting structure because when they finally, 2 years later, it started to come, you could see it rise from the surface of the street. And it took like another almost 7 years for them to finish the final construction of this building. And it's impressive structure. It's so hard to see, but that's one tiny little person right down there. And those are all the workers that were building all of that foundation work and in making sure that that concrete was strong enough. Why do you think they built it that way? Obviously, we know history plays a profound role in why they chose to build it this way. And the builders wanted it to be able to hold up under incredible stress and pressure and unknown things that it might face. So they decided that it would have the strongest and deepest foundation with the highest standards of building. In fact, the standards for building that building, they exceeded the local requirements by a great number so that hopefully it would stand the test of time. If you have a Bible this morning, you can open up to the letter of 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at a section of chapter 3 this morning. All about building on the solid foundation. And the reason I chose this chapter is this is something that the Apostle Paul is talking about. He's talking to this, I guess we would call it a newer church plant, because they had some things going on that were messing around with the foundation. And he writes this as a reminder and a bit of a corrective to this young church in Corinth. This church had gotten off track and they had let ego and power and control dictate what they were sharing. It was a kind of a corruption of what the foundation that they had received from Paul and others. And it made some of them start to actually redefine the good news in their own image. And we, having the benefit of several thousand years, can understand that reshaping the good news into our own image, not a good idea. In fact, it's doomed to failure whenever we try to transform the Bible and have it say what we want it to say. Paul writes to remind them of all that Christ has already done for them and is doing through them. But what they have received, that foundation, it comes with a great responsibility to not only grow spiritually, but also then to live out the moral and ethical decisions that a life of faith in Jesus Christ calls and commands us to. As the church, we build our lives as both individuals and together, as God's family. And so when we are faithful and when we encounter successful growth, we do it together. And guess what? It's a communal joy. We get to rejoice with one another when we see signs of growth. And it actually can spur us on to things that maybe we didn't think were possible in our own life. And together it provides a way for us to be able to withstand and endure the pressure and stress we will face in this world. When we act upon the foundation we have received, our lives can be like a beacon, like the top of that World Trade Center. If you've ever been there, they light it all up, and you can see it from a long ways away. And ideally, that's what our lives can be for the world, a beacon of hope that shines outward or reflects the light and love of Jesus into our world. It tells the world, I belong to Christ. We belong to Christ. He loves me. He loves you. He loves us. He changed my life, and he wants to change yours. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, if you take a look at that verse, it says, for we are what? Co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Paul in this chapter uses three images. I'm going to just briefly mention the first two, and then we're going to talk about the third one. He uses different images to make this point. He starts with that image of when you were infants, you need milk. As you become more mature, you need solid food. Unless you're in the hospital and then they put you on a puree diet or something like that. But the idea, we kind of understand that image, that we need something more substantial, that's actually a sign of maturity. For this church, he basically says, you guys are still drinking milk way more than you should. It's not a lactose thing, it's a maturity thing. And then he goes on and he uses the example of agriculture. This is another example that this area would have understood, that agriculture is a team effort and working to produce a crop. And whether you are the one that is planting and watering or tending, no one is greater than the other, because ultimately it is who provides the growth? God. It says God is the one who makes things grow. We each play a part in it. No one part is more important than the other. Sometimes we want to be the person that shares the gospel, or we use things like, I want to bring them across the finish line. But that's no more important than the person who spends time with them and communicates with them in different ways or shows up when they most need it. It's God who caused the growth. So if this is how God is at work in our life, our shared life together and as individuals. If it is God who is causing the spiritual growth in us, it is all because he is working in an active, cultivated field. This is not an empty, fallow field where nothing is going on. And he expects us to participate in this. Participation in God's work is both a privilege and a responsibility. And it's also a blessing. What are some of the words that we could use to describe how God approaches this kind of farming work? I think of words like careful, attentive. If you've ever been around someone who's good with plants or a farmer, they're purposeful. They take great care. They're very diligent. All sorts of words. They're actively involved in this. And with God, I would say unceasing. What was the word you said? Nurturing. Good word. So those are the first two images Paul uses. And then he switches gears to this building image to describe the nature of what Christ calls us to participate in. How does God approach his work in us through this building image? With the same care and concern that I would say he does in all of his work in us. Viewing us as co-workers. So he's actively at work building things in us on the foundation that has already been laid, the foundation that we do not alter, which is Jesus Christ. The work that God is doing in you, there are no half measures. There's no cutting corners to meet deadlines. Those of you that have done any kind of building, no corner cutting. There's no awarding of the building contract to the lowest bidder. Okay, I'll stop trying to stretch the analogy too far. No, in fact, what God is actually doing in us and through us is not valued in efficiency, something the world might value. Efficiency is not the primary value that God is using as he works in you. In fact, what God is doing is not efficient at all, because it often makes no sense to us. It's not designed to keep costs low, because when we really think about all that God has done, it cost everything. He spent it all for our sake. So today I want to just highlight or focus on two ideas Paul writes as this reminder to refocus our faithful participation in this building project. The first is pretty obvious because it comes right from the text. Build carefully on your foundation. We don't just build willy-nilly, whatever we want. We build carefully on the foundation. Let me read verses 10 and 11. This is what Paul writes. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building upon it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Too often, both then and I see it today, people try to alter that, to make what is built actually be a reflection of themselves instead of a reflection of Christ. Building carefully is an important responsibility. It's a role for every disciple of Christ. I might say it like this: we don't get to subcontract or outsource our building, our spiritual building. You already have the sure and sound foundation with which to build upon. And if we are not regularly in the Word, then we are selling ourselves short, and I would go further, we're disobedient when we're not in the Word. If Jesus Christ is the foundation, then anything that's built needs to be in line with him first. If Jesus Christ is the bedrock of truth and head of the church, then all that we do or don't do matters to him. Carefully doesn't mean timidly or fearfully. Carefully means purposefully. Or as the pastor who shared with us yesterday, his word was intentional. That's the word that he liked to use. Carefully means you build with purpose, with intention. We're not just making it up as we go, even if we're not always sure about how things are going to work out. Fall is a good season to take stock of this as we jump into a new season, and hopefully as the weather starts to cool down a little bit more. This is a good time to start perhaps some new construction in your life, or maybe some remodeling of things that aren't quite fitting to that foundation as well as you would like. Maybe you need to renovate the things that won't stand up under pressure in this world. You know what's not standing up, and you know the parts of you that are under pressure. How is that working out for you? And I say the same to myself as well. Consider what you are carefully building your life upon. Is there an area that needs some TLC? Is there an area that needs to go on HGTV for a little reno? Maybe it's as simple as starting by replacing one unhealthy behavior with a habit that is life-giving and life-affirming and cultivated by the Word of God. Start small. If we have these massive goals and we try to start, we usually, after about 3 weeks, we give up. Start small. As we participate in the spiritual building up of our lives of faith, we have to understand that there are no shortcuts. There's no magic pills. There's not the perfect book you can read, the perfect Bible study you can be a part of to the life of spiritual growth. When they were building One World Trade Center, they discovered, as they were testing the strength, that there were about 2 loads of concrete that were poured that they discovered were not up to standard. Somebody forgot to check them. They just assumed that somebody was out checking every load because they wanted to make sure, because if you've ever worked with concrete, you don't always know if it's going to work. Sometimes concrete needs to be actually torn out and replaced. And what do you think they did in the case of this building? Say, well, it's good enough. Nobody will know. Let's just leave it as we pour 100 more floors on top of it. No, they, of course, did not do that at all. They jackhammered it out and replaced it, even though it put them behind schedule and over budget. The builder knew it would not remain solid, but would eventually crumble because it was subpar to start with. Build carefully on your foundation, Jesus Christ, who is always solid, par above all. Second thing, God encourages quality building. Some of you may discover this in the homes that you live in. Sometimes things aren't built with quality in certain cases. We learned that in the house that we're renting, when they turned it around and flipped it, that there were areas where they cut some corners. There were areas where they just spread a little paint on it and made it look good, but underneath, you could still smell what had happened in that house before. It's not always pretty in the summertime. Spiritual growth and our maturity in Christ is not simply about what we do, but also about how we go about it, the quality of what we choose to build. On HGTV, there was another show, this was a while back, and there was a contractor that was hired because they were having problems with a building. And the contractor came in, and they actually discovered that they used substandard materials that actually didn't meet fire code. The fire rating of the materials that the previous person had used were actually not to code. And it was a serious problem because in this particular building, if this building caught fire, it would not have given the fire department enough time to be able to potentially save it and rescue anyone inside. And at first glance, it looked totally fine. Yet under fire, it would all come tumbling down and potentially with tragic results. So they ripped it all out and replaced it with quality building materials. What we do is important. We know this. But if we neglect the how, it can change our focus to be only concerned about what people see. How do I look when I'm in front of people? Look what I can do for God. Aren't I great? We might think. One of the things that I was tempted to believe earlier in my life was that my spiritual growth and maturity was based on quantity. I love my dad. He's never been focused on quality of food. He's always called himself a quantity guy. He doesn't like to go to the frou-frou restaurants, and I'm sure he'll watch this and he totally would agree with this. And they give you a plate with just this tiny little piece of food and it looks beautiful. My mom loves that. My dad's like, I'm going to be hungry. He's always been a quantity kind of guy. And so often that's kind of how we approach our spiritual life, that quantity must mean I'm more spiritual. If reading one chapter of the Bible is good, then two must be better. This is kind of the mindset that I used to have. If praying for 1 minute is good, well, then praying for two must be better. And not just better, must make me better. If I go to church 3 out of 4 Sundays, then I must be better than someone who only goes 2. I didn't understand the heart part, the internal part, that it wasn't just what I was doing, but how I was going about it. Jesus, all throughout the Bible, regularly cautioned disciples about performance-based faith. How many times does he chastise the religious leaders, the Pharisees, for doing things so that they would look good, but inside everything was all messed up? They kept doing things that would puff them up, but it was not building them up. Paul reminds us in this part of 1 Corinthians 3 that on the day God returns, Christ, he will actually judge the quality of what we have built, taking into account all the internal growth within and all of the external actions that it produces. And when I reread some of these verses this week, it made me tremble a little bit. It was like a reality check. And maybe you felt similarly before. We try to do more, or we feel bad that we don't do as much as somebody else that we see. But what does God's word say? Let me read verses 12 through 15. These are the last verses. If anyone builds on this foundation, that is Jesus Christ, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. We know with things like gold and silver and precious metals that fire actually has a refining quality, but for things that maybe are not as quality, maybe straw or hay, that all gets burned away. If what has built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Meaning you still might be saved, but there may be consequences. We must focus on developing quality. And you don't get a lot of praise for that often, because it's a lot of that internal work that people don't see. And only you can do it. The person sitting next to you can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. The person who loves you most in this world can't do it for you. It's not seen, but it's the work that actually leads to amazing, life-changing results. So as we close, where can we begin to improve our build quality? Maybe that's a question to consider yourself this week. Are there any disciplines or practices that would improve your build quality? I would start small. Get some wins under your belt. You know what happens when you encounter a win. It kind of spurs us on. If we have something that's so big and we try to start and then we face discouragement, and what happens? We want to give up. The Bible actually provides so many different blueprints from us. You could pretty much open up to any section of the Bible and you'd find that God can speak through his word in this day. I want to draw us to one particular passage. I put it on the back of your bulletin. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read some verses. This is one blueprint that God has provided to help us build on the solid foundation. Verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Everything we need. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious what? Promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. God's looking for participants. He's not looking for us to lean back and be in full receiver mode all the time. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, this is what I like about Paul. He usually likes to use phrases like this that really clue us in. For this very reason, make every effort. So you've got this foundation in Jesus Christ to add to your faith goodness, okay? And to goodness what? Knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Maybe think about which one of those words right now is connecting with you. What would improving your build quality as it relates to goodness, what would that look like in your life to grow or to add in increasing measure goodness in your life? What about self-control? That can be a tricky one. I'm not going to choose the one for you. You know it. You know the one that you need perhaps first. Take one of them. Think what disciplines or regular practices would allow me to demonstrate this in and through my life. That's the kind of building that God, when Christ returns, will see and acknowledge. It doesn't say that you're going to be more efficient if you do these things. You won't win the efficiency merit badge. But these kinds of qualities will help you to be more effective and productive as disciples of Christ. Verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or we could say that the opposite way. They will make you more effective and productive. Those are words we like. We want to be more effective and productive, but they may not make you more efficient in your life because it doesn't always operate that way. These are some of the signs and results of a life built on a solid foundation. I would encourage you, as Paul would for the church in Corinth, what's an area that needs some renovation? What's a quality that needs to be focused on for you? Start there. Maybe find one other person to talk about it with. All right? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word, how it speaks and communicates truth not only in the time and day that it was written, but that you speak through your word to us today. And I pray that you would help each of us continue to build on the solid foundation that we have received in Christ Jesus, to take the things that we have learned and to work to build them into our life. This is not rocket science. God, if we're having trouble getting into your word, I pray that you would provide us with the time and the space, perhaps the person, to help us be more consistent and intentional in that, so that we can be the kind of disciples that you know we can be. God, will you continue to encourage and inspire us to grow more and more in our love and knowledge of you? We pray this in Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. As we go in peace, remembering what we have done here, remembering that you are forgiven people, eternally loved, thoughtfully instructed, gratefully obedient, and responding and responsible wherever you are in this world. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to being with you again.